celebrate God and His Word today. And so, saints, welcome in the name of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Your Word and the power of Your Word. I know we're in, to say the least, and I don't mean to make it light, but we're in very interesting times as far as the nation, as far as the world. And man, I've heard from actually both sides of everything this week. And I want to just announce to you where I'm at. The Lord let me know decades ago when people were wanting my opinions on stuff. And I was trying to work up my opinions, and the Lord spoke to me pretty directly that, you know what, I didn't call you to give your opinion. And the world doesn't really need your opinions. What they need is my word. And so I want to tell you, I'm committed to His word. And I've been getting calls. Can you imagine? I've been getting some calls this week. And I want to tell you what I do, because a lot of the people I minister to are pastors in other places and things. And I want to tell you, everybody's all over the map. But I want to tell you something. I answer them with the word. And then they take the word, and you go meet with the master over the word. Okay, but His word should have a preeminence, should have a priority in our life if you're a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, then opinions are the top of the post. But I want to tell you something. If you're a believer, then the authority of His word should have preeminence in your life. Okay? And so this is where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the word. I'm going to share with you some of the things I've shared with them this week. Is that all right with you? Because I want to tell you, the word of God is so right on the moment. I've been going through Proverbs again. I can't tell you how many times I've been through Proverbs in the last 40-something years. But I want to tell you, I'm seeing things in Proverbs. I say this every time I go through it. I'm seeing things in Proverbs I've never seen before. And I'm seeing things in Proverbs that count for today. I'm talking about this week. I'm talking about the very things that we're going through. The Word of God is so alive. That's why I love the Word so much. And you've got to be in the Word as a believer, or you don't know what to believe. It's so true. Well, the Word of God is so powerful. This series is on the badge of authority. And actually, what we're sharing in this series, and I got one more sermon. I think I've said that before. I've got one more sermon in this part of the series. We're going to start season two in just a couple weeks. But next week, I hope to wrap up this part. And this is about the badge of authority, and it's had to do with the battle of the mind. This whole first part, I didn't intend this, but this whole nine-part next week series on this part, it has to do with the battle of the mind. And that's very, very appropriate for the season that we're going through, because there's a lot of mind battle going on. A lot of fear. Okay? And I think that history will say that fear did more damage than a virus did. I think history will prove that we've hurt our economy more than the virus by fear. And some of it's been extreme overreaction. I say some of it has been extreme overreaction, but I think history will prove that. But I want to tell you, listen to what the Word of God says. Okay, it's very powerful. John 16, verse 33, and this is out of the Amplified, so it reads a little more words involved in it, but it's a great description. The reason I love Amplified, it's a great description of original text. It goes in more detail about what the original text is inferring and saying. And so I want you to catch it all. This may not be your pleasant reading Bible, but it's a great study Bible because it goes back to the original text and gives more declaration. And for example, real quick, a lot of... I don't need to get into that. Let's get into the Word. John 16, 33. I have told you these things, and this is Jesus speaking. And when He says something like this, He's saying, I've given you my Word. This is what His Word produces. And why we need to be receivers of His Word. Let me remind you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You may say, well, I've heard it before. No, no, what are you hearing now? What are you hearing? Because it's very important that we practice hearing, His words, okay, and taking in fresh bread of His words. I have told you these things so that in me, not in circumstances, okay, in me, you may have perfect peace and confidence. Now, I want to tell you, if there's anything that's missing on the overall picture out there, it's peace and confidence. A lot of people toss to and fro. Don't know this, don't know what to do, what's happening next, what's happening. I want to tell you, in Jesus, from receiving His words, you can have perfect peace and you can have confidence. Courage is another word in there, courage. In the world, you have tribulation, and all the people said. Amen. In the world, there's a lot of trials, and all the people said. And as a result, a lot of people are in distress and frustration. We understand that, don't we? All right? But be of good cheer. This is the Lord's direction to us. This is the way the world responds, but here's how we are to respond, because we are in His Word, and we are connected to Him, communing with Him, and we have peace and confidence. We can be of good cheer in spite of the trials and tribulation and the distress and frustration. Let me say, because one of the first things that people say to me sometimes is that, well, Brother Tim, I'm in the middle of it right now. I'm in the middle of the storm. I'm in the middle of the trial. I'm in the middle of the fire right now. And I say to them, in the middle of your fire, storm, trial, Jesus will give you perfect peace. You say, well, that's impossible. That's Jesus. Jesus brings the impossible. His peace is beyond human understanding. It's that real and powerful. And He will give you that confidence in Him. I'm not talking about a self-confidence, a confidence in Him. And you can actually have joy. Do you see good cheer? You can actually have joy in the midst of the Lord working on you. Now, when the Lord's working on us, it don't always feel good. It don't always, make a goosebump run across your back whenever the Lord's working on you sometime. But I want to tell you, in the midst of what you're going through, you can be of good cheer in the Lord. I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus has said. Because He's overcome the world, we can overcome the world. It's not by our own strength, it's by Him. I have deprived it of power to harm you. That ought to speak to somebody. The very thing that you may fear the most, Jesus would describe to you, I have deprived it of power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. It's already conquered. It's already done. We are in a position in Christ through His Word, practicing His presence, receiving His peace, and receiving His joy. We can overcome because He's overcome. Is that good news? Now, I want to tell you one of the things that I have sent people that shoot me questions this week, because a lot of times it's by text, and they'll shoot me a question about this or that happening on the horizon, and I've answered them with Psalm 37. And so let me see that on the screen. Psalm 37. You see it there? There it is. Man, this is so summarized because I've got to hurry to get through this. And so this has taken 15 verses, and I've just put it in a few descriptions. And so I'm encouraging you as a special project, why don't you go home today and look at Psalm 37, 1 through 15, and let the Lord love on you. Number one, it says, and this is in verse 1 and a number of times in the verses, fret not yourself. Now, when it says fret not yourself, it means don't stir yourself up to anger. Don't stir yourself up to anger. That's a wrong response. That's a world response. You say, well, Brother Tim, there's plenty to be angry about. Okay, but that's not for you. Do you want to make it your battle, or do you want it to be the Lord's battle? I'm telling you, there's a proper way for Christians to respond. All right, and don't fret yourself. Don't stir yourself into anger. I love one of the descriptions in the language. It goes like this. Do not heat oneself into vexation. Don't heat yourself up into vexation. Don't work yourself up into anger. Don't work yourself up into disturbance. That's not your part. Your part's to practice peace. You say, well, this and this and this. I don't care what it is. You see, because we got people here that are facing different storms. We got people that are facing storms in their family right now that it's an absolute tornado. I know that. I have great compassion for that. I've been there. We got people that are facing a storm in their finances. We've got people that are facing storms socially. That, you know, with what all's going on, the big mess out there. But I want to tell you, in spite of the big mess out there, I want to tell you, this is why the Word of God is so applicable to you. Because this speaks to whatever your situation is. And this is an answer for you. Don't fret. Hey, don't worry. Don't get concerned about it. Don't overwork it. Don't stir yourself up. All right? And so, fret not yourself. Our part, this is our part. This is what we're to do when storms and situations and a bunch of mess like we've seen this week out in the nation. What our response is to, number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, you busy yourself by delighting yourself in the Lord. Very important. Number three, commit your ways to Him. You see, there's a whole lot for us to do instead of just react. A lot of times, and this is part of the problem with believers, is that we operate just like the world, and the world will react. I mean, there'll be something happen in one ditch, and the world will react all the way to the other ditch, and it's two ditches hollering across a chasm at each other. And I want to tell you something, nothing is ever accomplished by people hollering from two different chasms at each other. But I'll tell you what makes a difference. It's for you not to allow what's happening with the fire out there or the storm out there or even the storm in your very own home to take place in your heart. We have a responsibility for our heart. And the Bible says we're to guard our heart because out of our heart comes all the issues of life. Boy, that should speak, shouldn't it? Well, so here's our part. Trust in the Lord. Spend your time delighting yourself in the Lord, committing your ways to the Lord. Practice being still and resting in the Lord. That is powerful ministry. Now, sometimes when I'm sharing with pastors, they'll kick back at me because what I share with them is very, very simple. Same thing I'm telling you, that you know what? You need to go spend some time with the Lord and you need to empty this junk out to the Lord and you need to practice receiving the rest and the peace and the love and the joy of the Lord. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, I know that. I know that, Pastor, but what else can I do? Well, there's nothing major to do besides that. Okay, whatever you do besides that has little effect. You're trying to work it yourself. It's very, very important that you get before the Lord. I'm going to rush and say this. I was saving this till next week. There is no substitute for intimacy with God. There's no substitute for intimacy with God. I want to tell you, you're His daughter, you're His son, and more than anything else, He wants you to gather at His feet, get in His lap, and let Him love on you in and through the situation and bring you to His peace and His joy and His love life. I want to tell you, when you are receiving His love life and you're letting Him love on you, the Bible calls it blessed. And one of the definitions, would you get this? One of the definitions for blessed is life joy. Yeah, but what am I going through? No matter what you're going through. I'm telling you, He can bring you to life joy. And so we commit our way. We practice being still and resting in the Lord. And this is what it says. You cease from anger. One of the things that Psalm 37 says that you're going to recognize that I didn't put in there is fretting yourself, getting yourself worked up, only leads to evil doing. It's not going to lead to blessing. It's going to lead to evil doing. Now, there's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. And one of the things that comes out in situations that you have a storm in your house or the situation, a storm out there, I want to tell you, this is what the Bible says. When people raise their emotions. I'm having a little trouble with my notes. When people raise their emotions and come at you with an anger or a disturbance that has a lot of octane in it, the world response is to meet that same level of octane. Meet that same level of emotional energy. And I want to tell you, the Bible says that's foolish. Let me tell you wisdom that the Proverbs brings out. Is that when people come at you with a high, intense, emotional level of anger or disturbance, the Bible says you whisper. You give a soft answer. You agree with your adversary quickly. And you minister a soft answer, a soft response. And this has a dynamic effect. Do you see the difference? It's opposite than the way the world operates. Miss Gina is here this morning, and many years ago, I've always loved her heart for ministry. Matter of fact, I've got some ministry ideas for her this year. As I'm speaking, while I'm up, I won't speak those now. But I remember decades ago, she was going to dedicate her summer to a children's home out in West Texas. You remember? And a lot of teenagers, troubled teens. And I think she asked me, "You got any advice before I go?" And there was just one thing that really hit my mind. And it was this, is that they are going to test you with wrong response, emotional response, high energy, reaction, rebellion. The main thing is don't let them get you there. If they see that they got to you and you lost it, they win. They say in their mind, they win no matter what the outcome is. You remember something like that? Okay. I want to tell you, that's from Bible response, but it's also years working with teenagers. But I want to tell you, it's true with adults too. The words of wisdom of the Lord a lot of times are an opposite approach, but the Lord ministers wisdom. And so what I'm sharing with you during this time is that there is an answer. Cease from anger, fret not yourself. We shall delight ourselves in the abundance of peace. That's our job. You minister a whole lot more comfort and help to people from the abundance of peace than you do out of conflict. You're not going to... If you are high-key trying to argue someone into your direction, most of the time you just seal their commitment. Okay? But I want to tell you, a different approach by coming from peace and coming from love and sharing His Word. The Bible says that His Word is like apples of gold. A right response, an encouraging word, will absolutely minister life to someone who's depressed and discouraged. Someone that's disturbed. So we shall delight ourselves in the abundance of peace. That's where we come from. That's where we're to go. When you're operating out of peace, you have an effect on them. And sometimes it's not by your words. They sense it. There's something about the attitude or about the spirit of a person who's in peace is that it has an effective ministry on people around them, whether they say anything or not. But if you're disturbed, they sense that, and the guard comes up. Is that speaking? I want to tell you what the Bible says. And this is speaking of evildoers. Now, there's a definition of evildoers. Evildoers, this is out of the Bible dictionary, they cause injury or hurt, mischief, break, and shatter. Well, I want to tell you, I've had people point to evildoers on every side. The answer is still the same. Okay? Don't fret over what people are doing wrong. Don't fret over what people's actions are. Let me remind you what Bible says. Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. You say, well, it's those people, it's these people, it's this group, it's that group. No, it's really not. According to the Bible, it's not flesh and blood. We war against principalities of darkness. And the great thing that Jesus said about darkness is that He's overcome the darkness. He's overcome the world, and we have the victory through Him. And so you know what? You don't have to get upset and disturbed over what people are doing or what people are saying. There's a response for you. And the Bible actually says in Psalm 37, and this is, I think, verse 15, I think it goes to, but it says this, that the Lord laughs at them. And so I'm telling you, if the Lord's laughing at them, because He knows their outcome is very short-lived, temporary. And so if the Lord's laughing at them, why are we angry? Shouldn't our heart reflect His heart? I want to tell you, if He's laughing, shouldn't we be able to smile at people who are disturbed, whether we agree or not? Should we be able to smile because we know that there's an outcome? And you know what? The Lord's in charge of that. And this is what the Bible says. I think this is verse 15. It says this, their swords shall enter their own hearts. Now, I want to tell you, that's a strong statement. Let me reaffirm something to you. That's the Lord's business and not your business. Don't you dare think that you're representing the Lord by trying to take a sword and put it in their hearts. No, no, no. Your part's to minister peace and love and walk in joy. It's the Lord's responsibility. He's the judge. We're the lover. Our part's to love Him. His part's to judge Him. He does good at His part. We need to do good at our part. And all the saints said. Amen. Well, I hope that encourages somebody. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. There's a whole lot more I could say. But let's look at the word. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. All right? But He has given us a spirit of power. Somebody say power. And of love. And of a peaceful mind. I love that, don't you? Our lives are not to be governed by fear, but by obvious, real, manifesting love of Jesus. You say, well, I'm not there. Well, our part's to get there. That's not something that Pastor James or Pastor Tony or Pastor Don or Pastor Justin can do for you. That's something, there's no escape from intimacy with the Lord. You got to go meet with the Lord, your shepherd, and you must personally receive that peace. But that's very, very important for we're not to be governed by fear. We're not to be ruled by fear. We're not to be controlled by fear. We're to walk in His love and in His power and with a peaceful mind. That's very, very important. Now, before I go to the next verse, I've got to give you a little definition. And it's a definition of bondage. Bondage means that you're under a power or an influence, okay, that's bad for you. That's what bondage is, under a power or influence. For example, I've had staff members decades ago, somebody you probably don't even know, who was so under the bondage of fear that they could not go anywhere outside the house except maybe to church. And that was a question mark every week. Every week I waited on the phone call, are you able to come or not? And so, you know, but they were such under the bondage of fear, under the power and influence of fear, they couldn't leave their home. Now, it was amazing they were able to go on vacation, and it was amazing they were able to go out to eat. But besides that, all right. That slipped. That wasn't in the notes. But you understand the power of bondage? You're restricted. Okay, so now you understand that definition. Let's look at Hebrews 2:15. And also that He, speaking of Jesus, might deliver. He's our deliverer. And completely set free. He's the one that sets us free. That's what deliverance is. And completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death, there is a fear of death, they were held in bondage because of the fear of death throughout the whole course of their lives. And let me say to you, if you're under the bondage of the fear of death, or any kind of fear, fear has a way of manifesting in all kinds of ways, but if you're under the bondage of fear, it will absolutely put you in bondage your whole life. unless we understand the victory of Jesus and the authority he's given us to resist it. That he's given us the power to overcome because he's won the victory. And so being a subject to bondage is not okay in any form. Fear is not okay. Fear is not a friend. Okay? Fear is the enemy. And it's wrong. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. And so the spirit of fear comes from the enemy. And so I'm telling you, fear is not okay at any level, in any form. You are in the world, but not of the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Any believing believer, and this is an important description, a believing believer is not conformed to the world. Not poured into the mold of the world. Just because the world is in the form or the mold of fear doesn't mean you're to be. You're not to be. Believers are to have a victory faith mindset. That's what these 9 sermons are about in this battle of the mind. We're to have a victory faith mindset, a different attitude, a different mindset that's not subject to the world. I'll put it real simple because I like to do that, but fear is bondage, faith is freedom. Man, that's there. Anyway, you add that up, that's worth shouting over right there. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. Do you see that? For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, has not grown into love's complete perfection. And so I'm going to put it real simply like this. Is that when you're walking in the overwhelming manifested presence of Jesus, fear cannot exist in you. And so when I tell people that are struggling with situations and struggling with fear in many kind of form, when I tell them you need to focus on the love of Jesus, you need to focus on receiving the love of Jesus and practicing the presence of the love of Jesus, they say, that's way too simple. Give me something else. But no, this is the major. And when you practice receiving and walking in his love, absolutely fear chases fear. Love chases fear out the door. Is that a great picture? And expels every trace of it. You say, well, if I could just get to the place where I could go. No, no, no. Don't be satisfied with that. Love expels every trace of terror, every trace of it. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. He's afraid has not reached full maturity of love. I'll tell you what, a word that needs to be said if you're struggling with fear, and there's no condemnation in this. This is an exhortation. This is something you can walk in for greater freedom. You need to grow up. You need to grow up in love. Okay? There are deeper and deeper and deeper levels of his love, and every level of his love brings greater freedom. Is that great news? That's for you. That's for us. He paid the price for us to walk in this. When fear is present, the enemy has a license to torment. It's like you've given him a license to torment you. An invitation. Fear brings torment. Look, it's okay to wear masks. It's okay to wear gloves. It's okay to wash your hands. Matter of fact, please do. Right, please do. My wife would say, and take showers too. But listen, in your washing of hands, in your gloves, in your mask, I think masks are a great idea. You don't have to wear as much makeup. Come on, saving all that money. And some of them are so creative, I get so tickled. Matter of fact, y'all got the mask. You're not today. Matching, that counts. Okay, I have noticed that some people have different colored masks for their outfits. You know, I love that. I think that's great, you know. I really enjoy that. But look, when you do what you do it from peace and not from fear. Well, Brother Tim, that's a minor thing. No, it's a major thing. Because when you do what you do because of fear, this brings bondage. When you do what you do because of fear, this is the invitation for torment. And I can tell you, you know, where the enemy, he doesn't play fair. And this fear mindset, Well, let me just give you an example. Okay, you wear your gloves, you wear your mask, your suit, I don't know what all you wear, but if you wear it to the store and you purchase some food and bring it home, you know what crossed your mind? Who touched this? Whoa, wait, who touched this before I touched it? Somebody somewhere had to pick it up and put it somewhere in order for me to get it. Did they wash their hands? I'm telling you, you know, I'm not making fun. I'm sharing with you because of people that I hear from. That it can absolutely become an exponential thing, fear can. And it can grow to different levels where you're absolutely harassed. All right? Who had the virus? That touched it. Well, what did they have? Where have their hands been? I've heard that all my life, haven't you? And what's the name of the virus that they had? Okay, look, Proverbs 22:13. I saw this week. I've never applied it to this, so this is fresh off the griddle. Okay, Proverbs 22:13. Usually it's the Mountain Movers Club that gets everything fresh off the griddle for me. But Proverbs 22:13 says, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I can't leave. I'll be slain in the streets. Does that sound like fear to you? Well, the sluggard brings fear. Well, Brother Tim, how can you tie that up? Well, it came to me like this. Fear comes from being lazy in the Word. Come on. I'm telling you, the Word is powerful. And the Word has dynamic effect on us. And the Word absolutely chases darkness. It light chases darkness out. And the Word is the light, and we receive the light. It chases darkness out. Fear comes from being lazy in the Word. Well, Brother Tim, that's not very scriptural. Okay, let's see another one. Hebrews 6:12. Thank you for asking that. In order that you may not grow disinterested, and the only thing I've ever really wrote, I want to write some little books sometime like Steve Skelton does, you know, the little books. I don't have enough in me to write a big book, but I'd like to do some little ones. The only thing I really ever put out was a track, and because I saw it in teenagers' lives, and it was called The Boredom Cycle. Now, that little track went out a lot of places. A lot of people taught off of it and used it, and I'm so glad they did. But there's something there about the danger of becoming bored. In your walk with the Lord, in your journey, in your relationships. Okay, and there's ways to prevent being bored, but being bored is dangerous. For example, I don't have time to preach on it. David was bored during a season when the kings were supposed to go out to battle. He didn't go to battle. He was bored, and he ended up on the roof, and he was eyeballing a Bathsheba. She was bathing. Okay, it's a little play on words, but see, if he hadn't been bored, if he'd been doing and focused and attentive to what his do's were, he wouldn't have been doing the don'ts. Maybe that's too simple. Okay. In order that you may not grow bored, disinterested, and become spiritual sluggards. Oh my, there it is, Brother Tim. Well, that does connect. You can become spiritually lazy. Instead of being spiritually lazy, be imitators, behaving as those who do, as do those who through faith, by their leaning of their entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in His power and His wisdom and goodness. Now, I sum all that up in two words that I got from football: to be all in. All in. And I want to tell you, when you start to get bored, you need to go hang out with Jesus people that are on fire for Jesus. Because sometimes it's more caught than taught. And if you're sensing some boredom, you need to go hang out with people that are all in. And it will encourage you. Their intimacy with God, their passion for Christ will rub off on you, splash off on you, and that's a right thing to do. And with that, you practice patient endurance. and waiting on the Lord. Because these people that do this, now they're inheriting the promises. They're walking in the promises of God. Is that great news? I'm telling you, the promises are exciting. Look, I trust Jesus. That's the bottom line during this season. That's one of the themes for my life, is that, you know what? I trust Jesus. And I'm encouraging believers today, be a believing believer. The enemy is always, this is not the only season that the enemy's ever tried to steal, kill, and destroy. This will not be the only season that the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy. Hey, I must. You must. We got to trust Jesus. I believe God's word. What are you believing for? Now, before I share something that some people are going to laugh at, some people are going to get irritated at, I've got to ask you a question. What are you believing God for? What are you believing God for that's in the impossible realm? Because God loves the word impossible. He loves to manifest the impossible. With God, all things are possible. And so we ought to be believing for the impossible, what man calls impossible. We ought to be believing for that. So what are you believing for? But I'm just going to announce to you where I'm at. I believe that disease and germs die when they come to me. You see? My wife's the only one really. I've got just a few people in agreement with me. I believe that germs and disease die when they come to me because I'm a carrier of His glory. I'm a carrier of His glory. Brother Tim, I don't understand that. No, look. His presence dwells in me. The full measure of Jesus dwells in me. Let me announce something to you. If you know Jesus Christ, the overcomer, the champion of all, hey, He dwells in you. And the Bible says in full measure, He dwells in you. Do you want to know why that Jesus was able to hug on lepers? Boy, it would be a lesson for today, wouldn't it? Do you know why He was able to hug and minister to lepers? Because the glory of God in Him killed everything that came against Him. No weapon formed against Him would prosper. The glory of God would kill it all. Well, it's all right for me to believe that. If you're not there, it's okay. I'm believing for that. If something happens to me next week, you say, God bless him. But what are you believing for? I'm a carrier of His glory. I'm a carrier of His presence. You are too. But I want to tell you what's very, very important in faith. You've got to become convinced and persuaded of it. If you're not convinced and persuaded of it, you're just like a parrot repeating things. Your heart's got to be in agreement with it. If I'm going to just tell you, and I'm not putting this down, but if you were getting sexually harassed at work, I want to tell you, you would speak up quick and you would protest. Am I right? If a bully shows up at your house, and he's demanding this and that at your house, on your property, wanting to get inside your door, you'd be quick to resist, shut the door, and you'd call 911. I want the police. Police are my friends right now. Bring them. But I want to tell you what happens. And this I don't understand. This is wrong. Are you ready? This is so wrong. When it comes to fear, they're more dangerous than someone sexually harassing. They're more dangerous than a bully. Because I want to tell you, we are less aggressive and proactive about fear. And listen to me, according to the Bible, and you know it's true, fear brings bondage sometimes for people's whole life. But we don't respond. Hey, look, let's be alert. Let's be proactive. Let's be aggressive about submitting to God and resisting the enemy, fear. Use His word. His word is a sword. It's a double-edged sword. Hey, faith is a shield. We have weapons of warfare. Isaiah 54:14 says this, "You shall establish yourself in righteousness, and you shall be far even from the thought of oppression or destruction. For you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you." Is that great news? Look, that's what the Bible says. Now, this is Old Testament. I have to say real quick, about righteousness is that the Lord has established us in righteousness. That's what the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of our sins, and that's what our salvation is that He has placed us in His righteousness. It's a gift. We don't earn it. He has gifted us with His rightness. It's a gift. And so because of our salvation, we are established in Him, not by our works, but by His works. And as a result, we don't have to fear. Do you see that? Is that, can it be any more clear? Can you still breathe and not understand that? I'm telling you, it's simple. It's there. If you go to fear, you'll be tormented and you'll be terrorized. If you let the enemy get you in fear, he controls you. Jesus has already given you peace. We got to practice receiving it and walking in it. There's no substitute for intimacy with God. This is where we receive by being in His presence, by dwelling in His presence, by being under the shadow of His wing. There's no substitute for that. Stand on His word, practice receiving His presence. Now, I'm going to summarize real quick, just a couple minutes, because there's a number of verses here in Joel chapter 2. And you can go to this, but in Joel chapter 2, and I'm going to start just say with verse 19, the Lord says, I'm sending you grain and juice and oil, and you'll be satisfied, and you'll no longer be a reproach to the enemy. Now, I want to tell you, I'm studying and working on a series of about communion. And whenever I see the grain, I think of the body of Christ, what He's provided. He's provided His health and His healing and His restoration by stripes in His body. I think about the juice. I think about the blood that was shed, and it speaks of the juice of the grape. And by His blood, He's given us freedom, and He's given us forgiveness and freedom. Is that beautiful? And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing this? This makes this exciting. The Holy Spirit is our comforter in this season. And He's also the one that stands with us, stands beside us. He gives us His love and joy. It's the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that gives us love, power, and peaceful mind. Do you see that? And we will be satisfied with Him. And we'll no longer be a reproach among the enemy. That ought to be some good news. And He says in verse 20 that He will deliver us from whatever the enemy looks like. Wherever the enemy is and what it looks like. I want to tell you, you're going to smell the stink of their death because the Lord will do great things for you. He will destroy your invaders. The Lord delivers you. Somebody give a shout. Verse 21, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Now, I want to tell you, there's times where you see land in the Bible and you can say, this belongs to me. This is my body. This is my land. This is my territory that the Lord's given me. And so He's saying to your body, whatever's going on, whatever attack, you be glad and rejoice, for the Lord's done great things. Remember the goodness and the greatness of God. And in verse 22, it says, be not afraid, O your wild beast in the field. You say, well, Brother Tim, where are you going with that? Well, I announced the other day to all the birds and squirrels and ducks that hang out, kitty cats that hang out on our property, and also a couple armadillos that are looking for a home. I said to them, you know what? You're blessed. You're under my covering of blessing. Because I'm blessed by the Lord and I have the favor of the Lord. You're blessed because you're on this property. But I want to tell you what hit me about wild beasts during the middle of the night. The wild beasts. What are the wild beasts? Some of us have children that act like wild beasts. Oh, come on. You know they're not doing right. They're out there in the field doing things they shouldn't do, acting in ways they shouldn't. But I want to tell you, even if your children are acting like wild beasts, there is a type of covering over them because you're covered. I'm not talking about their salvation. I'm talking about some favor of God for their salvation. All right? Oh, I'm telling you, there's a lot there, and I don't have time. Okay, but verse 23, you circle verse 23, and you study that today because it says, be glad then, you children of Zion. So if you didn't follow me on the land or the wild beast, follow me on the children. Because if you know Jesus, you're a son and daughter of the living God. And he says, be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord. So be glad and rejoice. For he gives you the former and early rain in just measure, and in righteousness he causes to come down the rain, the former rain, the latter rain, as before. And so I'm announcing to you in verse 23, you're a son and daughter of the living God. He's promised blessing to you is gladness and joy. The threshing floors, verse 24, shall be full of grain. Man, grain, again, bread, healing, restoration. And the vat shall overflow with juice, forgiveness and freedom. Don't you love them? And oil, the anointing, the comfort, the peace, joy, and love of the Holy Spirit manifesting on you. That's beautiful. That's overflow blessing. Somebody say overflow blessing. That's God's heart. That's God's promise for you. And he says he will restore anything the locusts have eaten. And it describes all kind of locusts. I didn't know there were so many. But so what I'm saying to you, however the enemy is manifested in your life and stolen from your life, part of the blessing of God, he's a God of restoration. He will restore and replace the years the locusts have eaten. He will restore, verse 26, all the enemy has stolen. I just love that. He's done wondrously for you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Now let me just address this right quick, and I'm finished. He says, I'm the Lord your God, and there's no one else. My people shall never be put to shame. I'm going to say this to you because one of the enemy's biggest attacks is shame. He wants to play the shame blame game for things we've done in the past or things we didn't do or things we haven't accomplished, mistakes we've made, and he wants to play the shame blame game. And with God, his blood covers that. There is no shame blame game with God. He doesn't shame you. He doesn't blame you. He says, my people will never be put to shame. If we could interview Job today and bring Job here, Job, even though he was the most righteous man in all the earth, that's what the Bible says. So give him some credit. Amen? But one thing that Job would say that he would do different, he would say, I would not have fear concerning my kids. And he would tell you, you know, the fears that I had concerning my family came upon me. Okay? I'm not saying that if you're in fear that you're ungodly. I understand that you can have a walk with the Lord and be in fear. All right? Hey, thank God that he's bigger than our fears. But I'm telling you something about fear. Job would say, trust the goodness of God for those you love. Now, fear births fear. Do I need to say it again? Well, I don't really have time. You attract what you fear. You draw what you fear. Trust God for people you love. Hey, number one, you know I have the gift of simplicity. It comes out like this. He loves them more than you do. Right? His protection over them is greater than yours. It's okay to lock your doors. It's okay to set the alarm. It's okay to have your defense weapon. But I want to tell you, if you trust in them more than you trust in him, you're setting a position for fear to come. Well, I nearly got knocked down with amens there. That made me want to stay. His protection over them is greater than yours. He's better able to protect them if they were out in the street than if they were in your lock closet, your safe room. We are to give peace and thanksgiving, practice peace and practice thanksgiving for their protection because that's the Lord's job. And listen to me, he's good at it. I have sometimes when I leave people that... And it's a common American saying. And so I understand that people are just expressing care. But they'll say to me before I get in the little Red Hawk to take off, they'll say, now, Pastor, you be careful now. You be real careful out there on that road. And I can't help it. I have to stand against every form and word of fear. I tell them, no, I'm not going to be care-filled. I can't be care-filled. All right, I'll be alert. I'll be sober-minded. That's encouraged. You know what that means? I'll be focused. But my part is to enjoy my journey with the Lord. And I want to tell you, I take the Red Hawk and it becomes a praise meeting, a prayer meeting, and I practice preaching to you in the Red Hawk. I have a blast in the Lord. But I cannot drive being filled with care. Are you with me? I'm not telling you what to say. I'm not trying to get on to you. But I'll tell you, when they tell me, now you be sure and call me when you get there, I can't help it. I say, why? Why would I do that? Well, because I want to make sure you get there safe. Well, what difference would that make? I mean, if you don't get a call, you're going to rush and catch me in the Red Hawk? I doubt that. And keep me from having an accident or something? No, I want to tell you something. We believe the best. No news is good news. And I just tell them, no, I'm not going to call you when I get there and say, I made it. I'm not going to do that. I believe the best. Am I being too simple here? I'm trying to come against the forms of fear that sneak into our life. I went fishing. This was in 2002. My wife encouraged me to say this in case some of you thought I was talking about you. This was in 2002. I took a pastor that you don't know. I took him fishing in 2002. And, you know, of course, I leave early in the morning, in case you don't know. I leave early in the morning. I'm telling you, before I got out of the driveway, his wife called. Are y'all okay? Yeah. We're fixing to be okay. I'm fixing to turn this thing toward the lake. Well, I just want to make sure everything's all right. Yeah, we're fine. We're going fishing. Hallelujah. We're going to have a blast. On the way, she called. This is the pastor's wife. Called two more times on the way. Y'all doing all right? How's the traffic? Y'all doing okay? Y'all got plenty of water and everything? We're fine. We're going fishing. And this was the pastor talking to her. I wasn't. By the time on the way home, I wanted to talk to her, and he wouldn't let me. But it was one of those places, and especially you remember nearly 20 years ago, and it's still that way now. Some of the places where I fished way out in the country, away from everything, there was no cell coverage. So we didn't get any calls the whole time we were fishing. But I want to tell you, when we were back on the highway headed toward the concrete city, all of a sudden his phone lit up. And boy, it was barking. There had been so many calls from his wife, and he said, oh no, I'm really in trouble. I said, why would you be in trouble? He said, well, she's been trying to call and I didn't answer. I said, brother, we're out of range. It's all right. And he called her up and she was letting him have it pretty good. I could hear. Okay. And he hung up and I said, next time she calls, let me answer. He said, no, Pastor, no, I can't do that. I said, well, why not? He said, well, because she already thinks that we're talking about her. Okay, look, do you know why that she was calling so many times? I'm going to give you one answer. It's fear. It's fear. She was not trusting God for the protection of her husband. She had a fear of death or a fear of exposure. I don't know. She had a fear that had her in bondage. Now, I want to tell you something. That's bondage. That's not faith. That's fear. Now, I don't know what the Holy Spirit's pointing out to you this morning, but I'm here to say to you that Jesus has paid the price for you to be free from fear. And if you're experiencing any form, any level of fear, it's too much because it leads to bondage and it leads to torment. Okay, one more thing and I'm done. Okay, will you hang on just one more minute? I know I've gone a little bit over. Hang with me one more minute. Years ago when my boys were small, we lived in a small house, an older home. And you know, the older homes had the big backyards, you know. Here in the concrete city, even they had big backyards. Well, I had three beagles because I was raised with beagles and to do rabbit hunting. And there's no place really to hunt rabbits around the Metroplex, but I found a place. If you know where Verizon Theater is now and the horse racetrack, at that time, it was just wilderness. And I would load up my little beagle dogs and go down there, and they'd go rabbit hunting, and I'd let them run. See, that's what they're bred for, born for. And they would run and have a great time. I'd load them up and bring them home, and it was so sweet to hear them howl and carry on. Great memories for me. Well, one morning, the boys came running in and said, "Dad, there's a rabbit in the yard." I said, "No." They said, "Yeah, there's a rabbit out there." And I walked out, and sure enough, there was a rabbit out in the front yard. And I said, "Well, I'm going to get him. I'm going to try to get him." And so I walked out there, and the little bunny just stayed there, and I reached down and picked it up by the back of the neck and brought it in the house. And boy, the boys were celebrating and rejoicing because now we had a rabbit, okay? And I put the rabbit in a box, and he stayed in a box for a day or two, and the boys played with the rabbit and had a big time. And then, it just hit me, don't get on to me, okay? I'm a country boy, so don't get on to me. But I had this thought. I wonder if the rabbit wants to play with the beagles. So I took the rabbit in his box, and I stepped out the back door. And the dogs, whenever I'd come out, they'd look at me to see if I had something to eat. And I took that bunny out, set that bunny on the ground, and boy, their ears perked up. Boy, they all stood up, and the bunny took off running, and the dogs chased the bunny, and they were howling and carrying on. And I watched that bunny circle that big yard twice. And the dogs were behind it, just they were having such a blast. The rabbit wasn't, but the dogs were having so much fun. And the rabbit circled twice, and the third time around, that rabbit took off running right toward me and jumped and landed in the box. Well, that touched my heart, and I took the bunny back inside. Now, I want to tell you, he ran in fear. He ran to his refuge. Now, he probably had become bored with his refuge. He probably wanted away from his fortress. But I want to tell you, when the hounds began to holler and chase him, that little rabbit had enough in him to know, I'm running to the fortress. And I'm running to the refuge. And he did, and I did. I covered him. I protected him. So somebody give me an amen, okay? Amen. And so we soon found the little rabbit a home without puppy dogs. But I'm here to tell you that I think that's what the Holy Spirit is saying today, is that some of you in the journey, somehow, some way, maybe in a little way, maybe in a big way, fear sneaked in. And you ran from the refuge. You ran from your fortress. He's your keeper. And now it's time to run to him. And when you run to him, he's not going to interview you on why. He already knows. He will rejoice in your return. But you need to come to your refuge. Get back in your shelter, in your fortress, all in. And let the Lord minister his freedom and liberty, his deliverance to you. And all the people said, amen. I'm praying for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you're our refuge, that you're our fortress. Thank you that in a simple way, we can confess our sin and repent of our sin and confess you as Savior right now and receive your liberty and your freedom that you paid for. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that even though maybe we've been believer for years, that we got off track and we got into fear, and we understand and recognize there's a bondage to fear. And Lord, you paid the price for us to be free from fear. That we're to be of good cheer, not fear. That we're to have our confidence in you and recognize that you're our refuge and our shelter. So Lord, we call upon your name right now and we say yes. We say help. We say, Lord, we receive your rescue this day. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen.